Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
As we said earlier, the this season of the church year is really exciting because God has accomplished His plan of salvation. The price is paid, and now He has been able to redeem all mankind unto Himself. And so we're continuing in our study of Titus. And you can follow along in the bulletins as I have it in there, Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And there Paul, as he's writing to Titus, again, Titus was left behind to establish the proper leadership in the church. Remember, at this time, they didn't have church buildings that they went to, but they met in people's homes. Sometimes in some cities, they were, a good relationship with the Jewish folks in there, and so they were able to meet in synagogues or whatever. But, you didn't have an established, church building or set of buildings or whatever, and you basically had a church in people's homes, and folks that had a big house and maybe had a big courtyard, they would accommodate a couple hundred people. In the Eastern culture, it is amazing how many people you can stuff into a small area. It says here that the maximum occupant load is what, 78. Okay. And we look at that and say, but if you were to take this same size room and take it over to India, man, you could put a couple hundred people in here. And they would just all be sitting on mats all around, and so you wouldn't have to have a very big space to be able to accommodate a pretty sizable church. And so you would have all these different home churches within a city, and then you would have those that Titus was supposed to establish, the bishops, the overseers, to make sure that people didn't wander off into doctrinal error and things like that. And so Paul is continuing in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and encouraging Titus with what he's supposed to be doing. And he says, "Remind your people that they should always be under the authority of rulers and government leaders. They should obey these leaders and be ready to do good. Tell them not to speak evil of anyone, but to live in peace with others. They should be gentle and polite to everyone. In the past, we were foolish too. We did not obey. We were wrong, and we were slaves to the many things our bodies wanted and enjoyed. We lived doing evil and being jealous. People hated us, and we hated each other. But then the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, was made known. He saved us because of His mercy, not because of any good things that we did. He saved us through the washing that made us new people. He saved us by making us new through the Holy Spirit. God poured out to us that Holy Spirit fully through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And so Paul is reminding the folks what they were and what they are. And, Bob and I were talking a little bit earlier that, it used to be that if you wanted to get some good gossip, you'd have to come to church. Because there, everybody would know all the good gossip about everything that was going on. Well, you don't even have to come to church for good gossip anymore. All you got to do is just watch the news. I mean, what is going on in this world is horrendous out there, and it's real easy for us to become emotionally involved with all that we see going on in our culture, in our state, and in our nation, even here in our homes. It's real easy for us to get emotionally involved. And so many times when your emotions are involved, you feel that you have to respond some way. I mean, there's something I've got to do. This is right or this is wrong. And now I feel compelled to do something about it, and then when you find yourself in a situation where you're really helpless, which means that you can't help, you can't do anything about it, then you get all frustrated and anxious and all of that, and life really becomes very frustrating for you. And that's why Paul is telling Titus here in Titus 3:1, he says, remind your people that they should always be under the authority of rulers and government leaders, that they should obey these leaders and be ready to do good. And I like this. He's saying two things here. Obey the leaders and then be ready to do good. And just, we look at some of the leadership that we have in our government today, and some people might say, oh, this is the best leadership that we've ever had. And other people might disagree and say, oh, no, this is the worst that we've ever had. And you're never, as long as you have more than two people in a room, you're never going to get anybody to agree completely, whether it's religion or politics or anything. And, if you get two mothers in a room, well, then somebody's child is going to be the best, and there's going to be a big argument about that. And so what Paul is saying is there are certain things that we personally don't have any control over, but God does.
Amen.
Amen? God does. And so that's why he's saying, look it, he is in control. And he is going to accomplish his perfect will. How many of you believe that? God will accomplish His perfect will. And so what must we be doing? We need to be praying. And then to, as he says here in the second, we should obey these leaders. I mean, we need to be law-abiding citizens, but at the same time, be ready to do good. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what situation you may find yourself in, there is always going to be an opportunity to do something good.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you are in your sick bed. It doesn't matter if you're in your deathbed. There is always going to be an opportunity to be able to do something good. And we got the biggest kick. We referred to the time that I was detained for my own protection while in India. And And so it was real easy for people to get upset. Oh, this is not right. This is not fair. Brother Dale has traveled halfway around the world and now they're doing this to him. But while I was there, I had a chance to do something that I really don't have much opportunity to do while I'm out in the mission field. And that's do a whole lot of prayer. I mean, we might pray in the evenings and whatever, but I had extended periods of time when I could just pray. It was just me and Jesus. And then while I was there in that room, it wasn't like they didn't allow me to have visitors. I could have visitors. That's it. We should have just brought everybody into my room. That wouldn't have worked. It wasn't that big of a room. And I had the chance to pray with and to counsel people during that time. And so the Bible doesn't say, hey, if everything is going according to your plan and everything is great, then you can serve God. But it says, no, you just do what you're told to do, but be ready to do the right thing. Be ready. And don't think that automatically because something bad has happened that, no, I'm not going to have a chance to do anything for Jesus now. That opportunity will always arise. And he says, tell them not to speak evil of anyone. And he's talking about Titus's people. The people, Titus was the apostle over the city. And so Paul said, these are your people, Titus. You're there to make sure that they stay in doctrinal purity and they live lives that bring glory and honor to Jesus. So tell your people not to speak evil of anyone, but to live in peace with others. And they should be gentle and polite to everyone. Okay? Well, that shoots about half of our conversation down the tubes, doesn't it? What? We can't speak evil of anyone? But Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. I mean, if anyone deserved to be spoken evil of, this is the person. What does the Bible say? No, we speak evil of no one, but we live in peace with others. And I tell you what, that's a hard thing to do. You know, to determine that no matter how contrary that cantankerous old person down the hall or next door or whatever may be, I'm going to live in peace with them. You know what? Only believers can do that. Why? Because we serve the Prince of Peace. And Jesus gives us, he says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. All right? We have true peace. Amen? And so we can live at peace with others and then be gentle and polite to everyone. Well, I like that word polite. You know, we don't have politeness anymore. This has become a world where, preteens address adults by their first names. This has become a world where there's no more Mr. or Mrs. It's just talking at somebody, with their given names. They're friends with everybody. You know, there's no politeness anymore. And I miss that. You know, we had so many aunts and uncles growing up. I didn't have that many real blood aunts and uncles, but if they were a friend of my mom and dad, they were aunt or uncle somebody. Amen? Because that was the politeness that society had back then. We were polite to people. You enjoyed going over to somebody's house because you didn't have to worry about their children being, little terrors and stealing the joy and the peace away, because politeness was expected of young people back then, and of some of us a little bit older people also. We were expected to be polite. You know, we should be polite. When people come to our homes, they come to our fellowship, you know, they should leave that place saying, there was something different about them, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but there was something different there. And I wish I had that in my life. You know, that could be the peace that we enjoy that we just talked about. That might be the politeness that we have, that we're concerned about the needs of each other. I love having fellowships and stuff and watching y'all. Here's some, take some syrup or take some butter. You know, it's usually we're supplying them with stuff that isn't good for us anyhow. But, have another piece of sausage or whatever it is, because that's how we are. We're looking out for each other and for those around us. That's the hallmark of a believer. Amen? That we're looking out for somebody other than ourselves. And then Paul reminds Titus that, in the past we were foolish too. Now, how many here would admit to that? In the past we were foolish too. In other words, all this stuff that he just listed off here, being impolite, being that, he says that just comes from being foolish. He just put a big old stamp on it. In the past, we were foolish too. And we didn't obey. We were wrong. And we were slave to the many things that our bodies wanted and enjoyed. We lived doing evil and being jealous. People hated us and we hated each other. You know what? That is the situation of the world today, isn't it? That's how it is. Oh, you try to dress them up. You try to clean them up. You try to put pretty clothes on them. But all the world is hateful and jealous. Amen? So we ought not to be. Praise God. We ought not to be. But then, Resurrection Sunday morning, verse 4, but then, amen, the kindness and the love of God our Savior was made known. Amen. I was brought up all my life with the gospel. The gospel was four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The priest would walk down the aisle with the gospel. This is the gospel. Do you know the gospel? I know the gospel. I knew the gospel, but I didn't know the gospel message. Amen. But then the gospel message was made known to us. And when that gospel message got down in our hearts, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It changed my life. He says He saved us. Why? Because we deserved it? No, because of His mercy. He has saved us. Not of any good thing that we have done. He saved us through the washing that made us new people. And He saved us by making us new through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we're going to leave off on this verse 6. God poured out to us that Holy Spirit fully through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I want you to know, I think many of us are already aware that, you know, there's a lot of misconception about the Holy Spirit. In some churches, you might have accepted Jesus as your Savior, but you don't get the Holy Spirit until something else happens. In other churches, the Holy Spirit is just some vague third person or whatever. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. And it says in verse 6, God poured out to us that Holy Spirit, how much?
Fully.
Fully? Nah, we must be misreading something here. He just poured out a little bit of the Holy Spirit. No. How much of the Holy Spirit did He pour out in us? Fully. He poured out that Holy Spirit fully through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, the problem is that some of us just don't know that we have the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't realize that He's given us a comforter. That's one of the names of the Holy Spirit. A comforter to walk next to us. The paraclete. He who walks alongside of us. He doesn't know that it's the Holy Spirit that makes our spirit alive in Christ Jesus. And so we have the Holy Spirit, but it's kind of like having a cousin or a half-brother or half-sister that you didn't know existed. That relative has always existed. You just didn't know it, did you? And then finally one day you found out, I've got a brother out there. I have a sister out there. I have a cousin. And then that relationship is complete. It's always been there, but you've not appreciated it and come to really acknowledge it until you became aware of it. And so this morning, what I want you to know is each of us have the Holy Spirit. And it's just like we talked about last Sunday. It's just what you expect. All right? If you expect things from God, you're going to see things from God. Two disciples go to the tomb. They don't see anything because that's exactly what they were expecting. But somebody else looks in and sees something. Why did Mary Magdalene see something when nobody else did? I believe it's because she expected to see something. What do you expect from God? What do you expect for Him to do through His Holy Spirit? I expect Him to guide me into all righteousness. That's what the paraclete does, is He guides us. God gives us His Word to instruct us and gives us His Holy Spirit to guide us. I expect Him to guide me into greater and greater adventures. I expect the Holy Spirit to once I get a hold of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me, then I'm going to have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. How many of you like a little bit more peace? Amen. All right. Hey, the Holy Spirit naturally gives that. if you know that He's there to give it to you. Amen? And so, you know, there's a lot of emphasis in some churches about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. All those are great. And that's wonderful as the church is led into greater and greater things. But, you know, it seems that churches that don't believe that seem to go in just the opposite direction. And they're not going to have anything to do at all with the Holy Spirit. It's just acknowledge that He may be out there somewhere. Well, we need to know that He has poured out to us that Holy Spirit fully. When you received Jesus, you received, on God's part, fully the Holy Spirit. Now, it's just like Margarita said this morning when we were asking for prayer. She said, God's already blessed me. And do you know what He has? He's given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places.
Amen.
We have already been blessed with every blessing. God has already poured them out. We just haven't received them yet. We were just kind of like Peter and John looking in there and saying, empty. All right? And not knowing that that blessing is already there. We just have to keep believing God that, Lord, that blessing is going to be manifested in my life. You're praying for your kids and for your grandkids. Guess what? God wants them saved even more than you do. As a matter of fact, He's already blessed you with that. It just hasn't manifested yet. You just keep on praying. God, I want to see that in my life. I want to see that in my eyes. I want to see that and enjoy that, Father God. But even if I don't, I know that You've already blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Amen.
That's the Word of God. Amen? And so this morning, this is the Easter message. All right? Jesus has died. Jesus rose from the dead. And we've not yet, you know, worked our way over to the Ascension or to Pentecost yet. But He's not in the grave anymore. He is alive. And because He's alive, and because He's alive in our hearts, He has blessed us. And we just need to start walking it out and saying, Lord, I don't see this, whatever it is that You're looking for, whether it is healing, whether, you know, I'm not experiencing that yet, Father, but I have to believe that You've already blessed me with every spiritual blessing, with every spiritual gift in the heavenly places. I believe that's what Your Word says. And so one of these days, something's going to happen, my eyes are going to be open, and all of a sudden I'm going to recognize, here I am. Here's that blessing that You have promised me. Amen?
Amen.
And when we have that attitude, then what are we going to be? We're going to be looking. All right? I've got a blessing coming. Matter of fact, the gift is already given. I just have to find it. Is it under here? You know, you'd be going through life saying, where's that at? Where's that blessing at? I'm looking for that blessing. Why? Because God promised me that blessing.
Amen.
Amen? And when you have that attitude of expectation, you know, you're not going to have time for this other stuff that Paul was talking about, being hateful and hating others and others hating you and all that stuff and having your joy stolen away from you, whatever that may be. You're not going to have time for that because we're too busy looking for the good things that God has already blessed us with. Amen?
Amen.
So, happy Easter. Because we have that because of the resurrection. We already have every gift because we have accepted Jesus, that perfect gift. Amen? We have it, and it's just, as Dad Ross used to say, it just gets gooder and gooder. Sometimes we go through some pain and discomfort and disillusionment, but with God, He's always making it better and better as we realize and discover more of what He's already done for us.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shining.